have a question. Can you grant, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with the Sabbath day and for changing the showbread. Father, we thank you for the forgiveness of sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness, blessing us with answered prayers, especially all those that are on our prayer list that are in need of salvation and healings. We thank you for the miracles that we have seen and the miracles we will be seeing. And we even thank you for the miracles we don't see, because there's so many of them, Father, we just don't realize. Thank you for sometimes letting us entertain angels unaware. They're guiding us so perfectly in our lives. Loving us that much where you'll actually send angels to help minister to us. And we thank you also, Father God, for all those that are able to attend church and even those that can't with technical problems that have to listen in on the radio. We thank you for the technology to be able to let them listen in regardless. And Father, we pray that you lift up, that we lift up and that you look upon all those that we have on our prayer list that help us do this work, physically, spiritually, and financially. Because we only ask you for the help, and then you send it through your people. I pray that you bridle my tongue and any tongue that may speak, so that only you and your words are glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. Temperature has to be absolutely perfect, I would think. It was a little rainy, but it's a nice day. Okay. All right. We're in Ministry of Healing. Is the paragraph starting off saying, "He shall gather the lambs with his arm"? Is that the one? Okay. This is the book, Ministry of Healing. We're on page 38. Paragraph 1, for those of you listening on the radio and you can't see what's being posted in the room right now. And hopefully the ceiling, I forgot something in the prayer. Oh, if I did, the Lord will reveal it later. All right. So in Rick. Well, I sent a PM to Rick. I don't know if he's seen it yet. All right. Page 38, paragraph 1, Ministry Healing. As Jesus ministers in the streets of the cities, mothers with their sick and dying little ones in their arms press through the throng, seeking to come within reach of his notice. Behold, these mothers, pale, weary, almost despairing, yet determined and persevering, bearing their burden of suffering, they seek the Savior. As they are crowded back by the surging throng, Christ makes his way to step, makes his way to them step by step until he is close by their side. Hope springs up in their hearts. Their tears of gladness fall as they catch his attention and look into the eyes expressing such pity and love. Oh, to have them walking the streets today. I can't wait till the rain falls more abundantly. And some of us are blessed with the ability that we saw the apostles healing people with. And it's such a wonderful thing to see the eyes of little children light up after they've been healed. Even adults, you know. The children are so innocent in that respect. Going on, it says, singling out one of the group, the Savior invites her confidence, saying, "What shall I do for thee?" She sobs out of her great want, "Master, that thou wouldst heal my child." Christ takes the little one from her arms, and disease flees at his touch. The pallor of death is gone. The life-giving current flows through the veins. The muscles receive strength. Words of comfort and peace are spoken to the mother, and then another case, just as urgent, is presented. Again, Christ exercises his life-giving power, and all give praise and honor to him who doeth wonderful things. We dwell much on the greatness of Christ's life. We speak of the wonderful things that he accomplished, of the miracles that he wrought. But his attention to things accounted small is even higher proof of his greatness. Among the Jews, it was customary for children to be brought to some rabbi, that he might lay hands upon them in blessing. But the disciples thought the Savior's work too important to be interrupted in this way. When the mothers came desiring him to bless their little ones, the disciples looked on them with disfavor. They thought these children too young to be benefited by a visit to Jesus and concluded that he would be displeased at their presence. But the Savior understood the care and burden of the mothers who were seeking to train their children according to the Word of God. He had heard their prayers. He himself had drawn them into his presence. One mother, with her child, had left her home to find Jesus. On the way, she told a neighbor her errand, and the neighbor wished to have Jesus bless her children. Thus, several mothers came here together with their little ones. Some of the children had passed beyond the years of infancy to childhood and youth. When the mothers made known their desire, Jesus heard with sympathy the timid, tearful request. But he waited to see how the disciples would treat them. When he saw the disciples reproving the mothers and sending them away, thinking to do him a favor, he showed them their error, saying, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God." Mark chapter 10, verse 14. He took the children in his arms, he laid his hands upon them, and gave them the blessings for which they came. The mothers were comforted. They returned to their homes, strengthened and blessed by the words of Christ. They were encouraged to take up their burden with new cheerfulness and to work hopefully for their children. Could the afterlife of that little group be opened before us? You know, in other words, what went on in their lives directly after that day, if that could be opened up before us, we would see the mothers recalling to the minds of their children the scene of that day and repeating to them the loving words of the Savior. Kind of like what the Lord reminds us every now and then of what we saw happen with Luke. Because there still are four miracles. Well, actually three, because I claim a person accepted Jesus as the Savior a miracle. But there's three miracles that the doctors can't explain. They still can't understand it, what happened. And so I like to recall that and even remind Luke and anybody else of that too. Going on. Something's rubbing against my mic. Hold on. Maybe it's my tie. Looks like it's okay. Is it on? Maybe they're hearing the birds chirping. I point the antenna towards me. My tie ain't that big. It's a normal size tie. No, it seems... I don't have one of those wind guards on this microphone. It fell off a year or so ago and I couldn't find it. It's just a little... Is it sound okay now?
Yep.
I guess. Alrighty. Okay, continuing. It says, let me backtrack a little bit. It says, could the afterlife of that little group be opened before us? We should see the mothers recalling to the minds of their children the scene of that day and repeating to them the loving words of the Savior. We should see, too, how often, in after years, the memory of these words kept the children from straying from the path cast up for the ransomed of the Lord. Because that does help, you know, because we, like the first miracle that we saw with Josh, we always had a tendency to keep reminding that to him and everybody else in the family, and it has helped to some extent, I would imagine. Just looking at the way the kids are, our kids are, as opposed to the way I was when I was a teenager, and the way they are, it's just night and day. completely night and day. And I praise the Lord for that. And it's not that they aren't normal in any way. It's just that they're not as... I was just downright wicked and evil in some of the things that we did. The way we were, you know, with a Catholic upbringing, that's what's bound to happen because everything is acceptable. Absolutely. You know, it's just a strange lifestyle. As long as you go to a confession once a week, everything's acceptable. It's one of the reasons you see the prostitutes that will go to confession on Saturdays and then claim never on a Sunday. They even made a song about it. And then they start their business back up on Monday. I don't know if they do that still to this day, but that's the way it was in the 60s and 70s. So continuing, Christ is today the same compassionate Savior as when he walked among men. He is as verily the helper of mothers now as when he gathered the little ones to his arms in Judea. The children of our hearts, or of our hearts, are as much the purchase of his blood as were the children of long ago. And that's where, without a relationship with Jesus Christ, that would be, okay, those are words. No big deal. You know, those are just words. Yeah, I acknowledge it's true, but I never really acknowledge that as something that is authentic in my life. But when you have a relationship with him, when you stay in the scriptures on a daily basis, because faith is faith, hearing and hearing by the word of God, words like this are, yeah, that's absolutely true. He really is there. So if you don't know him, you're just saying, oh, those are nice words. Isn't that a nice thought? No, it's a nice lifestyle. And like what Randy said last night, and he said this before, Christianity is not a religion. It's just truth. You know, it's not a religion. It's truth. It's lifestyle, if you will. You know, it's the actual plan of our Heavenly Father. Continuing in Ministry Healing, page 42, top of the page, paragraph 1, it says, Jesus knows the burden of every mother's heart. He who had a mother that struggled with poverty and privation sympathizes with every mother in her labors. He who made a long journey in order to relieve the anxious heart of a Canaanite woman will do as much for the mothers of today. He who gave back to the widow of Nain her only son and in his agony upon the cross remembered his own mother is touched today by the mother's sorrow. In every grief, in every need, he will comfort and help. But mothers come to Jesus with their perplexities. They will find grace sufficient to aid them in the care of their children. The gates are open for every mother who would lay her burdens at the Savior's feet. But if you don't know him, he's not there for you. It's like walking into an empty bank and saying, please fill my hands with money. Same thing happens when you pray into an empty heaven. A lot of people just believe, he's not there for me. Well, then he's not. That's why he says, without doubt. Pray without doubt. That's part of the test of being here. That's part of the test of life. You know, will you trust him without him dazzling your eyes before him? You know, like dazzling yourself or, standing in front of you. Will you take him at his word, in other words? You don't need a grand display of his greatness. You don't need, a column of fire at night and a column of smoke during the day. Will you take him at his word? That's part of the test of life. He who said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not in Mark 10:14, still invites mothers to bring their little ones to be blessed by him. In the children who were brought in contact with him, Jesus saw the men and women who should be heirs of his grace and subjects of his kingdom, and some of whom would become martyrs for his sake. He knew that these children would listen to him and accept him as their Redeemer far more readily than would grown-up people, many of whom were the worldly wise and hard-hearted. One of the reasons being is the innocence of the child, the prefabricated world or opinions of the world or life in general aren't already ingrained. You know, there's no unlearning going on here. With little children, a lot more the sponge, if you will. You know, a lot easier to help and share truth with. And the bad thing about this is, this on the other toss of the coin is, if you're evil, if your parents are evil, and they do the evil, I mean, this is one of the reasons the devil attacks the children. Because of their sponge-like ways. This is one of the reasons Satanists require little boys for sacrifice. The innocence that is there. And this is why Our Lady of Fatima showed up to little children. Or in Medjugorje, to little children. I mean, I'd say 75% of her apparitions were to little children. Because they don't have preconceived ideas. They're easier to manipulate. Now, there are some adults that there has been apparitions to. But they're so far gone with the brainwashing and you know, all the other strange doctrines of Rome that it's, I mean, the devil knows who he can approach and who he can't. Case in point, walk into any mental institution. They'll literally say they see demons with their eyes. But you and I can't see them. Because the devil knows it would not affect us the way it affects them. He would not have the abilities with us as he does with them. And he knows no one's going to believe them anyway. As the world says, they're in their house. And I've been in those places to try to share with people. And there are some that have walked up to me when I was with Pastor Russ that exclaimed they did see demons. One in particular comes to mind where she was walking around clutching a Bible. Like it was all that was her world. She didn't want to let go of it. And it was all ripped up. It was all in pieces. And she had this band-aid on her finger. And we asked her what's going on. Why, you know, because, I mean, Pastor Russ sees a Bible. He's going to want to know what's going on. He likes to approach. And she said that she's holding on to it for protection. Of course, having the wrong idea. It's not a God. It's just the Word of God. You know? And then he asked her, why is your finger bandaged up? And she said that they told me to bite it off, the tip of the finger. And he asked her, who? And he says, those heads that come out of the walls. And so they can see these things. But they have a childlike mind, if you will. This is one of the reasons the devil goes after the young. Going on. He came down to their level. He, the majesty of heaven, answered their questions and simplified his important lessons to meet their childish understanding. He planted in their minds the seeds of truth, which in after years would spring up and bear fruit unto eternal life. When Jesus told the disciples not to forbid the children to come to him, he was speaking to his followers in all ages, to officers of the church, ministers, helpers, and all Christians. Jesus is drawing the children, and he bids us suffer them to come, as if he would say, they will come if you do not hinder them. How about the article I read in the room last night when we had our meeting? After the study, I read a couple of articles. The first one I read was, it was from LifeSite.com, I think, I don't know, it's a Christian news source, where this Chinese atheist is connected with the United Nations, and he's been in the ear of some of the officials in the United Nations, and I don't know how far this is going to go, but this is the kind of stuff that's being discussed in the United Nations thanks to the Vatican media. If it was just the United Nations, they wouldn't bring up stuff like this, but because you have the Vatican City in there, that not only represents the Vatican City, it represents the Roman Catholic Church. And so this guy, I forget his name, I was talking about this last night, comes up and he approaches the officials and they're having a discussion in regards to whether or not to make it illegal for parents to teach their children religion. Did you hear me? He actually stated in the article that teaching your children religion is child abuse. That's the headline, more or less. This is why they're doing it. Because the devil knows what it says in the scriptures. Train up a child in the way they shall go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Or when he is old, he will not depart from it. He can't get them all. He's got to deal with those Christian families out there. He's getting the grand majority of them. Everywhere you turn around, kids are playing, you know, the evil video games. I don't see anything wrong with video games as long as you're not, you know, planted in front of the TV set, but as long as you're not using the video games that are killing things and people. And, you know, because some video games are that you can learn things with, like how to fly a plane. But the grand majority of the kids will play the video games out there with the mature content. No one stops them from buying them in the stores. And the MTV or the or just television in general. He's going after the kids when they're young because he knows if he can get them young, when they're old, they're going to continue on. It's going to be ingrained. I praise the Lord for my naivete when I was young. I mean, I did a lot of stupid stuff, but I was just extremely naive. It wasn't until I started getting a lot older and started seeing how it caused me to get ripped off a lot by people I trusted that I started changing my outlook. And I started realizing the differences between good and evil. And started researching it out. Continuing. Let not your unchristlike character misrepresent Jesus. Do not keep the little ones away from him by your coldness and harshness. Never give them cause to feel that heaven would not be a pleasant place to them if you were there. Boy, that cuts deep in my heart. Because when I was a younger Christian and my kids were younger, I would say and do things that probably would make them feel like, I don't want to go to heaven if he's going there. Because the guy's got an attitude problem. You know, and there's a lot of people out there that are like that too. I mean, look at the Pope, for example. Who wants to go to his heaven when he's burning people at the stake, burying them alive, cutting them in half over those years? Who would honestly want to go to that heaven? That's why when I did the street preaching years ago, I would run into people that had that kind of a mindset. I don't want nothing to do with Christianity. Look what the Catholic Church did. Why would you want to go to that? Why would you want to be part of a heaven that they're going to? I said, yeah, well, you're totally misunderstanding the term Christianity. But think about that. Let not your unchristlike character misrepresent Jesus. Do not keep the little ones away from him by your coldness and harshness. Never give them cause to feel that heaven would not be a pleasant place to them if you were there. Okay, little ones, let me tell you this. If your parents are treating you unpleasantly, odds are they're not going there. So don't worry about it. Like if I continue to do stupid things, odds are I wouldn't go there. You have to look at it for the truth, for what it is. If your parent or somebody is claiming Christ Jesus as Lord and acting like they're all that and a bag of chips when it comes to being a Christian, but yet treating you very harshly, I'm not saying don't judge them. What I'm saying is that kind of lifestyle or that kind of mindset or attitude will not be allowed in heaven. They're either going to change before heaven comes for them, or they're just not going to be there. So don't decide to go to heaven because of that. Maybe the battery's going dead. Do I got an extra one up here? I thought I did. I always have an extra one in there. All right. Well, let me finish this up, and then we'll take a break. And I'll go run down and get a battery. I'm sure I got an extra one.
You say when you move around, it gets all staticky.
When I move around, it has to be the antenna. Now, let me try turning off this fan, too. Because that could be on the same frequency, the megahertz. All right. All right, continuing. Do not speak of religion as something that children cannot understand or act as if they are not expected to accept Christ in their childhood. You know, a lot of kids think, well, I'll worry about Jesus Christ when I get a little older. No, you can accept Jesus Christ when you're young. I knew a lot of my buddies, you know, says, why do you go to church every day? When I was Catholic, I used to go to church every morning. And I said, so how can you sit there with all those old people? Because that's all that's in the church, in the Catholic Church. And the morning mass, that's all you saw was a bunch of old people. I says, yeah, that's the way the people are nowadays. They don't even seek out Jesus Christ until they got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. That's the only time they ever decide to look at him. Well, that's strange. But I thought, why not, you know, embrace them young? I mean, I'm kicking myself constantly when I think about all the years I wasted. I didn't step out of the Catholic Church until I was 29. And then it took me 10 years, I'm thinking, at least, before I realized, you know, before I unlearned all the garbage. I mean, I was doing the street preaching, exposing Antichrist and all that other stuff, but for years I thought the 666 was the barcode. And I thought Sunday keeping was the Sabbath, you know. It took me 10 years, all of 10 years, to find out the truth about that. But, I don't know, it's just so sad that when you look in the churches today, especially with the Catholic Church, it's not all of them, but usually the Catholic Church, like when they have the morning mass, it's all old people, or sick people, old or sick. You know, it's kind of like rough weather Christians. You never see the fair weather Christians. Like today you have fair weather friends. If everything's going great, your friends are around. If you're having a rough go, they steer clear because, hey, I don't want to help them out. I want to keep my stash, my money. So, finishing it up. Do not give them the false, speaking of the kids, the children, do not give them the false impression that the religion of Christ is a religion of gloom. That in coming to the Savior, they must give up all that makes life joyful. Now, if it comes to sin, yeah. If you think sin is joyful, then you got to give that up. But there's a lot of things. I got to tell you, life is a lot more joyful without all those things that I thought were fun to do and was cool and neat and, you know, exciting. I certainly do not miss the hangovers, I'll tell you that. Getting up in the morning with the thick head, you bend over to tie your shoes and it feels like your head's going to explode. I mean, that kind of stuff, I don't miss that. Or the dragon breath from cigarettes, and, you know, especially in the morning. That's something I've noticed. You know, you don't have that strange breath in the morning if you don't smoke. And or always looking over my shoulder to see, you know, who wants to. Well, now I'm looking, you know, I don't look over my shoulder now because, the Lord is protecting me. But back then, I was, you know, people wanted me dead for different reasons. And I was always out there on my own, too. Didn't have anybody there to look for, you know, for help. That's what really makes me fearful for the other guy. I don't have any fear in regards to other than fearing God. I fear him and righteously you should in a righteous manner. But I feel for those people that are literally out there on their own. Because they don't trust God, they don't want anything to do with God. Well, then you are literally. You got bullseyes all over you. You're at the mercy of the devil now. I mean, if he feels like snuffing you out, you're history. You're gone. But still, he has to get permission because the Lord may have something for you. Because I remember things, strange things occurring before I became a Christian. Because obviously the Lord knew I would become a Christian. And there's a lot of thieves in the cross, on the cross out there. So we don't know. You don't judge people. You share the truth with everyone you possibly can because you don't know. You might be talking to a thief on the cross. You might accept it at the very last minute. And if you don't share those beads that are placed in the water, they're not going to have that to grasp when it's needed to grasp. It's going to be your fault. The blood's going to be upon your hand, as it says in the Bible. So, finishing it up, it says, as the Holy Spirit moves upon the hearts of the children, cooperate with his work. Teach them that the Savior is calling them, that nothing can afford him greater joy than for them to give themselves to him in the bloom and freshness of their years. That's why I kicked myself so much, because if I would have known what I knew, I would have, you know, and I'm not saying I know a lot, but I know. It's the truth in regards to who he is, and you feel guilty that you could have given him so much more than you did. That's why I kind of like to I'd like to live at least, I was saying 39, so you add 39, what's that, 40 and 40 is 80, so 78. I want to live at least 79 years, if the Lord doesn't, you know, if the Lord tarries in his coming. And the reason I say 79 is because I started keeping Sabbath, I think around the age of 79, was it? Kind of 40, something like that. It was about 10 or 12 years ago when we found out about the Sabbath. And I was doing stupid stuff before that, even though I was street preaching and stuff like that, I wasn't really well-versed. It's just a strange way I think, but what I'm saying is I'd like to give him more years for him than I gave for myself and, of course, the enemy of souls. And so if I found Christ or the Sabbath when I was 39, found out the truth about the Sabbath, and, you know, I mean, I knew Christ 10 years before that or 11 years before that. If I was embracing error for 39 years, I'd like to be able to embrace truth for 40. But still, I did leave Rome 22 years ago, so that's a bad calculation. So maybe it's 68 years old, or 69 years old, is what I'm... I just hope the Lord comes before then, of course. But I'm not going to set any dates. So we'll be back in a minute. It kept going in and out. Okay, so I'm going to go and get another battery. We'll be back in a minute. No, it's not. That one is just a floor mic. So. No. Okay, we'll be right back.